Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the publication of the Annual Report 2019 conference call and live webcast. I am Sandra, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it's my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Michael Müller, CEO and CFO at Interim of Valora. Please go ahead, sir.
It's a pleasure to welcome you, all of you, here at Seal City to our 2019 results presentation. We also welcome all the listeners on the webcast. I'm honored and privileged to present you a very strong set of figures for 2019. We published our results this morning. The presentation is available on our webpage, and I will briefly talk you through the key highlights of the financial results and our strategic initiatives. 2019 was particularly successful because we were beating our own guidance with an EBIT of 91.5 million, particularly strong cash flow that increased by 55% to 76 million, despite significant investments that we completed successfully, mostly in the production part of our business in 2019. 2019 was also successful because, as you know, we completed the tender process with SBB, with the results that we secured for another 10 years, 262 POS at the most attractive locations, at public transportation locations in Switzerland. Included in that are 31 new locations, partly completely new build locations, but a substantial part of that also locations that we are taking over from our competitors. 2019 was also a year where we invested heavily in our production capacity. We guided a 50 million investment in that part of our business. We almost completed these investments on budget and on plan, and will benefit from these investments now going forward. In general, we had a very strong year in B2B with a very strong top line growth. Across all our retail formats, be it in what we call retail, the convenience, food convenience format, and food service, across all the formats, we had a very strong development, particularly in the food service segment, where we realized substantial same-store growth in 2019. I will come to that in a second. And on the innovation side of our business, we were also proud to launch our concept Avec Box, a fully automated convenience store here in Switzerland. Currently, it's operating at ETH at Hünkerberg, and we're very pleased with the first results and the experiences we made with that concept. In terms of the key figures, we come to all these numbers in detail in the following presentation. Highlights, the 91.5 million EBIT, free cash flow, 76 million, but also the leverage ratio slightly decreased by 0.1% to 2x. All these numbers are adjusted on a comparable basis for IFRS 16. So all the numbers I will present today are adjusted for IFRS 16 for 2018 and on a constant currency basis. So truly comparable numbers that we will talk you through today. The breakdown by division, I would highlight first breakdown of the EBIT, 54 million in retail and a strong 43 million in food service. It demonstrates the increasing importance of our food service division. In terms of return on capital employed, you see that despite the start of the transition of our SBB locations, we realized 25.9% without goodwill on the retail side and a strong 16.3% without goodwill on the food service side. The food service side is obviously more capital intense in terms of the investments in the production capacity, but very much driven the increase by a very strong 12.2% EBIT margin on the food service side and on the retail side with 3.2% across the full retail division, also a very satisfying result. In terms of the details of our financial results, we start with our key metric, return on capital employed. We see that we experience a slight decrease in terms of the group ROCE from 8.9 to 8.4%, still well above our threshold. This number is impacted by IFRS 16. If you would exclude the one-time effect we had on the SBB in the last year, we would have realized 9.2%, so a slight increase in terms of return on capital employed. I will not talk you through all the details that we cover here on the page, but will guide your attention to return on capital employed of our retail Swiss retail division, the division that has been impacted the most by the SBB successful completion of the SBB tender and the start of the rollout and the signing of the new contracts. Here you see decrease, quite a substantial decrease in terms of return on capital employed, but still at 27.3%, a very healthy level in terms of returns we realized on our capital. Probably one of the highlights and most satisfying results is the development of our external sales and net revenues. External sales overall, more or less stable. There's always in the light of declining sales in the press category and the tobacco category. But if we focus on the categories that are most important for us today, but also even more important going forward, you see a very strong growth of 2.2 in terms of external sales and 2.9, almost 3% increase in sales on our food venience category, which include all the sales in the group, excluding tobacco, print, and books. This is one of the key metrics you should also follow going forward. That is the main driver of the transition in our formats, and we are very pleased that already last year we see here substantial increase. In terms of net revenues by business units, I would like to highlight the same store indices. You see here that food service overall as a division with 1.9% increase in terms of same store revenue had a very strong year, a strong year in Switzerland with plus 3% and in Germany with plus 1.6%. We're very pleased that in quite a competitive environment, we were able last year to increase revenues on the same store level in these two countries. In terms of retail, you see that also Germany had a very strong year with plus 2%. This is partly driven by the food initiative that we started to implement in the first half of last year, but also supported by a slightly less significant decrease in the press category. But the 2%, a very strong signal that we are well on track or well back on track in Germany again. The Swiss number with 1.8% has been affected by tobacco sales, but also by the beginning of the rollout, so closures of stores are not eliminated from these numbers, so these are included in these numbers. We typically close a store for roughly 9 days when we start the refurbishment. This has not been excluded from these numbers, but the 1.8% mainly also affected by the tobacco sales. Plus, we usually don't talk about the weather, but it's worth mentioning that we had in 2018 very strong year, and 2019, especially the first half of the year, was quite a challenging year from a weather perspective, not only for us, for all the retailers, and we saw that specifically weather-related categories like ice cream or also beverages, cold beverages, have been affected. And therefore, we feel we're still very well on track, especially if you look at the overall increase of the food category also in retail Switzerland. In terms of gross profit, first of all, gross profit margin increased, driven by a strong development of the food convenience categories by 1% to 45.2% across the group. So also there we feel we are on track in terms of our development, and definitely within the guidance we have provided last year. In terms of the breakdown, you see that the group generates now already more than 50%, 53% with food only, 11% with services, and 5% with non-food assortments. So these are the food convenience assortments that will drive growth, GP growth also going forward. And these are the categories that have been growing by almost 3% in last year. In terms of the breakdown, you see that specifically, again, food services had a very strong development in terms of absolute increase by 6.8% of gross profit. In terms of the margin, we had margin increases across our retail division. We had a slight change in the mix of the margin in food service because the production part of the business becomes more relevant and has an increasing share within the margin. That's why you see a small decrease, but also in terms of other segments in the group, you see a strong increase, which then supported our ultimate net result. In terms of cost, you see an increase in cost of 2.1%. The costs have to increase if our sales increase in production. This goes hand in hand. If you exclude from the overall cost development the SBB-related costs, which are to a significant extent also here reflected non-cash costs, then you see that ultimately, we had an increase of 1% in terms of costs, whereas our GP, gross profit, grew by 1.3%. So you see that we created here a situation where we have overproportional GP growth where compared to the ultimate cost level in the group. In terms of the breakdown, I think worth mentioning here is definitely Retail Germany. You remember in 2018, we communicated that we are in the process to implement operational improvements. You see here costs across Retail Germany decreased quite substantially. This is also the result of a new divisional organization. So we integrated our Swiss and German retail business much more than in terms of headquarter functions than we have done that in the past. And we start to benefit from that specifically in retail Germany. Also, the group, you see, has, or corporate and others, had a significant decrease in terms of the costs, which stems from operational improvements in that part of the business overall. In terms of EBIT, I mentioned 91.5% above the guidance we have provided, which was around 90 million. I think 89 million was the precise figure we have given. Adjusted for the special costs related to the SBB rollout and the signing of the contracts, we would have increased by 4.4%. The margin overall at 4.5%, including all these SBB-related costs, as we see it, on a very satisfactory level and definitely in line with what we have guided in the past. The breakdown by business unit and divisions, I think one of the highlights definitely here, sharp increase of EBIT contribution by 18% in the food service division, now at a very strong 12.2% for the combined food service retail part, B2C, and the B2B production part of the business. Retail Switzerland, definitely with a decrease in terms of EBIT contribution. This related to the SBB costs that we, in the amount of 9 million, 9 million that include non-cash related effects of roughly 7 million, majority of that being related to the IFRS 16 accounting standard, significantly smaller part related to impairments. Whenever we close a store, we have to impair the store or the remaining assets of that store before we reopen the store. So 7 million of non-cash effects within that 9 million and 2 million roughly cash-related effects. It's also worth mentioning that we compare these numbers again to a very strong 2018, strong in terms of operational performance, but also in terms of focus. So we had additional distraction, which is not reflected in these 9 million here, related to new concept developments, for example, in the Swiss organization, and ultimately also management capacity that went significantly into the SBB tender. We did not add all these costs up and included these in the 9 million, but the 9 million, these are directly related to the SBB rollout and the signing of the new contract. Retail Germany, you see, operates now at 3.6% EBIT margin and had, comparable to the food service division overall, a very sharp increase of 32.5% in absolute EBIT contribution, a result that proves to me that we're on the right track with the Retail Germany division and that ultimately we managed the situation that we found in 2018, where we were rather in a slightly challenged situation there with that part of the business. The strong development in terms of EBIT and ultimately all line items contributes then to quite sharp increase of net profits by 23.2%. This increase is also affected and influenced by extraordinary effects. But especially if you look at the EPS from continuing and the EPS group results, where we have an increase of 45.3% to 18.7%, I think demonstrates, apart from extraordinary effects, that we're definitely on track with what we guided, or ultimately, if you compare it with previous guidance, we actually already achieved the guidance that we have given for 2022 with these results. But I will come to the guidance details at a later part. But definitely in terms of net result, the substantial increase here, again, very strong signal that we're on track in terms of financial development in the group. To get to the ultimate free cash flow number that is one of the key metrics in the group, it's important to understand that we invested quite heavily this year. So if you look at the CapEx breakdown, you will see that we invested 42 million in the expansion of our B2B capacity in 2019 alone. 42 million, these investments will start contribute to the EBIT as of 2020 now. We substantially started to invest also in our expansion of the retail formats, both in retail Switzerland, Germany, and on the food service side with 35 million. In general, you find a breakdown of roughly 60% of the investments in food service, 37% in retail. And going forward for 2020, we expect additional investments of around 110 million. Then mostly on the retail side of the business, because this a substantial part of that money is invested in the rollout of our new SBB locations. Now, with that in mind, that we had a year of substantial investment, 95 million of investments of CapEx in 2019, significantly above the long-term average, we still realized a free cash flow of 76 million, 27 million or 55% more than last year. And I think this illustrates the very strong cash conversion we see in our business. Substantial part of that has also been influenced by a positive development of our net working capital. And the most simplifying and satisfying element of that number is this number is not influenced by IFRS 16. So this is the number which is really easy to understand. Cash is not an opinion. This is ultimately a fact. So the cash contribution of 76 million shows strong cash conversion and the strength of the business across all formats. In terms of the balance sheet, this obviously heavily affected by IFRS 16. We operate now with a balance sheet of almost 2.4 billion in terms of total assets. The number I would like to highlight is ultimately the strength of our balance sheet, the leverage ratio and the net debt development. You see a 10.5% decrease in net debt. Leverage ratio further decreased by 0.1 times to 2.0. So we are now at 2 times leverage ratio, which documents the strong balance sheet in our view. In terms of guidance, probably the most important message in terms of guidance is it's unchanged. We guided last year for 2020 a more or less unchanged result compared to 2019. So you see we guide 85 to 91 million. Bear in mind when the middle of the rollout of SBB, a rollout is always related to a rollout, you have certain uncertainties in terms of the timing, building permissions that have to be available on time. So there is a certain uncertainty. However, as always, our guidance is based on our internal planning plus a range comparable to previous years. So unchanged guidance for 2020. The additional information you get here is that you see we have quite a substantial impact from SBB this year. This is an impact mostly coming from increased rents that start to affect the result in 2020. There are additional effects, again, non-cash effects included in these 20 million, excuse me. I mentioned, for example, the impairment related to the refurbished store. That's also included here. But we also have a 15 to 20 million increase positive EBIT contribution that we expect for this year. And this contribution comes across from all the businesses. Major contribution comes from Retail Switzerland. Part of that is related to operational improvements that have been already realized in 2019 and have now a full year effect in 2020. Part of that is incremental operational improvements that we realize in that year, including margin improvements on certain product categories. It comes from also the first result of the transformation of the stores. You will see later we have a substantial shift in terms of the categories. You will see increasing food contribution in these stores. This again increases further the GP contribution at a more or less stable cost level, which will result here in a substantial EBIT contribution on operational improvement for these 15 to 20 million. But also in the other parts of the business, first of all, in the B2B business, our production business, I mentioned we invested now heavily in that business. These investments are almost completed. The last lines will go on production in Q2, early Q2 this year. And we start to generate sales from these lines and with that additional GP, which will then result in an increased contribution from B2B also going forward. And the food service retail business and the retail Germany business, you've seen that they had quite a strong year. Part of that strong year, again, related to operational improvements that we have completed in 19 and have now a full year result in 20. The combination of all that results in this 15 to 20 million increase in terms of EBIT contribution. Long and midterm guidance, again, we presented that guidance in summer last year, 2019, at our Investor Day. This guidance is unchanged. It's the same guidance. We still expect 5% EBIT margin in 2022. The only asterisk that we added on EPS, I mentioned it earlier, if you have done the math quickly, you would realize that we already achieved our EPS guidance for 2022 in 2019. That's why we said the 7% EPS growth is excluding extraordinary effect. Because they're extraordinary, we cannot exclude them in the future because they're hard to predict. So potentially we have additional effects then that will result to an increasing EPS. But the 7% guidance is ultimately coming from the translation of EBIT margin sales growth we expect to the net result. But as I said, EPS this year already guidance achieved if we would have left it here uncommented for extraordinary effect. In terms of the strategic roadmap, we have provided you, in our view, with quite a fair amount of detail at our Investor Day last year. So what I would like to do today is to show you on a more aggregated level what we see as the main driver for our business going forward. Ultimately, most important message, we want to be the best food and convenience concepts in the market. And in my view, we are very well on track to achieve that. We're definitely one of the strongest leading players in German-speaking Europe who focus exclusively on that part of the business And with that focus comes expertise, and with the expertise, I'm quite sure, comes success with the customers. This Foodvenience focus will be maintained, will be strengthened. We see very consistent and attractive box economics, despite changes related to the SBB across all our formats. So all our formats are contributing quite consistently. If you look at capital returns to the overall results, you will see differences. You have some formats that perform better than others, but they're all in a very attractive, on an attractive and sustainable level. And on that basis, we see also going forward a very strong cash conversion coming from these POS and coming from these business units, which then ultimately also supports as we see it, attractive dividend payout. The most important driver for our business is ultimately out-of-home consumption. And on page 26, we summarized a couple of available numbers, historical numbers, where you see how demand for these Foodvenience out-of-home consumption categories increased over the last 4 years or 5 years in part, and how frequency at our main locations, the public transportation locations, increased. And if you look, for example, at Deutsche Bahn, since 2014, they had an annual increase of passenger frequency of 3.5%. We are operating out of stores at these locations. If we do our job in a way that we catch at least the 3.5% growth that we have in frequency, so not even out-competing our competitors, this should ultimately translate in a very satisfactory growth rate going forward, because you see it in the outlook, based on our own assessment, based on expert opinions, we can be optimistic that these growth rates continue also in the future, and specifically the out-of-home demand, we have a very strong view, will only increase as a trend going forward. As I mentioned, in our view, we're now, as a group, very well positioned to benefit from that trend. First of all, if you look at the breakdown of our locations, 50% of our sales are generated at public transportation hubs. So we are where our customers are. We are near, close to our customers. And if you look at the category breakdown, we generate now almost 70% already with these Foodvenience categories. We still have a substantial part and a substantial exposure in tobacco with 22%, and press to a far lesser extent with 10% of our GP. But as you have seen earlier, the Foodvenience categories, these are the main driver and experienced also quite substantial growth already last year and are already an important part of our business. And that's what consumer expects from us to provide as products to them at these locations. In terms of a strategic roadmap, we broke down our midterm guidance and our initiatives along four dimensions. So these four dimensions are the main contributors to EBIT growth from 4.5% margin to 5%. It's one, the rollout at SBB, the increasing focus on the food categories within SBB. Bear in mind, it's not only that we put more food in our kiosks, but we have a quite substantial shift from kiosk to AVEX, which have an even far higher share of food, specifically also fresher food. And we have ultimately with that also across our network, improvement of our operational excellence already last year. Also, all the other stores outside of SBB benefited from what we do for the SBB portfolio. Secondly, it's the capacity expansion. So far, we only spent the money. We haven't generated additional sales. This will start to happen as of more or less now and the coming weeks. Capacity expansion will be one of the significant drivers of the EBIT contribution going forward. Number three is you've seen the strong performance of the B2C food service platform, a platform that we created last year. We combined the Ditch retail business and the Backwerk business in our headquarter in Essen. And on that basis, our team in Essen realized already last year quite a substantial increase in terms of same-store growth, which not only came from strong frequency development, but a lot of that came from an improved offering in the stores. Probably some of you who follow us closely, specifically in Germany, have seen that we had quite some new product innovation, specifically also at our Backwerk stores, which contributed here very positively and where we're optimistic that this will contribute going forward. Plus, coming from that new platform, we have operational, quite substantial operational improvements, and not only in terms of headquarter costs, but also related to our supply chain, being sourcing of products, logistic costs that will now be realized on a full year, on a full year basis in 2020. And the fourth element that's worth mentioning is at our investor days, we guided you with a stable outlook for tobacco. Stable outlook for tobacco is built into these numbers, and where this stable contribution, despite of decrease of sales, is coming from, I will come to in a minute. What we added is two additional growth drivers that are worth mentioning, which are not included in the guidance. One is we expect that we can improve our core business by digital innovation. We opened and launched our first fully automated store this year in April, last year in 2019 in April, and we're very pleased with the progress we make there. We have a couple of other initiatives where I'm very optimistic that they will contribute positively to the business. They're not included in these numbers. All that we included are the investments for these that part of the business. And secondly, we expect also add-on acquisitions that will strengthen our core business. We intensified over the last couple of weeks and months our effort in that area. It's always hard to predict what we can add to our portfolio, but we are optimistic that over the coming years, we can further grow the group. And we do that on the basis of the experience of Backwerk, specifically here last year, where we've seen that the integration of Backwerk and Ditch was completed very successfully. On that basis, we feel very well positioned now to look at other targets available in the market. I will talk you now quickly through some of the details along these 40 initiatives, probably SBB rollout. Key takeaway here is the substantial part of the growth we expect from SBB is coming from a strengthening of the convenience network, of the change of our banners from a car kiosk to AVEC. We will see substantial higher share of food offering in all our stores. We will also see, or we expect, increasing frequency. Also, SBB is benefiting from a trend of increasing customers. What we see on top of the increase in frequency is a change in consumer behavior. So with the repositioning of our stores, specifically the AVEC, we start to benefit also from new day parts. So mostly the evening. The evening becomes more important. We're not only selling you the coffee while you're going to work, but we start selling you products on your way home. And most importantly, the weekend. We changed our assortment in the AVEX in a way that we start to become also a weekend destination. And we have seen quite strong development in the refurbished stores on the weekends. You can imagine if you add an additional 2 days to your overall 5-day commuter week, this offers quite some opportunities. And ultimately, with more food come higher tickets and come more opportunities for cross-selling. Our favorite is the coffee. Most of you probably buy a coffee. Not all of you buy a croissant or a sandwich with the coffee. That's something we have to change. That's probably the biggest opportunity we have overall. A number that we start to guide here is the 10 percentage point increase in the share on the GP level. This gives you some indication how significant this shift will be in our business. And this ultimately then translates also in an increasing or in a positive EBIT development despite the higher rents that we have to pay. Some details on what we change on the next page. This is now a K-kiosk. I hope most of you have already seen a new K-kiosk. This indicates a little bit the importance of the food offering, 30% increase in terms of cooler surface, 20% more convenience in these stores. This is a quite a dramatic shift also that is appreciated by our customers. We have done in our first refurbished stores customer surveys. They're very satisfied with what we offer, and we become now more and more recognized as a destination for specifically these products. This will over time strengthen the brand and then also, in our view and conviction, fuel further growth of these categories. Same positive trend on our pretzel production business. Part of these numbers we shared with you already in the past, 3% growth. That's a positive market dynamic we see in the market. And our ditch unit, production unit, outperformed stunningly this market not only last year, but over the last 7 years with 10% growth in terms of output, in terms of volumes in that market. You see on the bottom, since 2017, we have 65% growth in our US production unit. Obviously, this will be hard to be maintained on a 65% level because we started on a low level. But also their indication we would like to give you is we're very happy, very pleased with the development in that unit. On the next page, I mentioned projects are on budget, which is not a given. We are very happy with the job that the team has done here. The projects are on plan in terms of timing. They're only a couple of weeks delay in some of the rollouts, specifically in the US. And we added now capacity in our German manufacturing plant by 20%, and we doubled already capacity in the US. So this gives you some indication of the potential here. We are now at more than 700 million pieces a year in terms of production volume. The B2C platform I mentioned earlier, an important driver, an important change in how we operate our business in Germany, the food service business in Germany. And probably the most satisfactory number on the bottom right, you see that we increased in the food service division our EBIT margin by 3 percentage points since 2017. I mentioned the 12.2%. definitely a very strong number, and it's supported by the growth we experienced, the strong same-store growth of 1.9% in the division. It's also supported by operational improvement. As I mentioned earlier, we became far more effective and efficient in the way we operate that business. In terms of new openings, we had a gross new openings of 44 stores. We shared with you in the past numbers, expansion numbers that were slightly higher than that. We shared with you that we also had, in terms of net openings, a challenging year because we closed quite a few stores in Germany because of weaker performance. But overall, if you look at the ultimate net contribution coming from that food service division, the way we look at it, it was absolutely the right thing to focus less on expansion, but rather on the quality of the expansion and the quality of the network. That phase is now completed. Going forward, we see less store closures, and we're optimistic that also the pipeline for the expansion in the food service business is quite promising. Tobacco, to close with the fourth element of our guidance and the initiatives I mentioned, we see declining tobacco for already quite a few years. So from 2015 to 19, negative 1.3% on an annual basis. But at the same time, gross profit grew by 3%. And that's more or less what tells the story, the stable profit contribution coming from tobacco. It's mostly driven by two factors. One is we are the main destination for tobacco sales and displays, mostly in Switzerland. And we benefit from that, partnering with the tobacco industry. And secondly, it's a change of the tobacco landscape. So alternative nicotine products become more important. We see quite promising growth in these new categories, be it an IQOS, be it other alternative nicotine products. And we are the market leader in these products, both in Switzerland and Germany, and benefit again from partnering with the industry in these the rollout of these products. And innovation, I think most importantly, we look back on a year where we opened the first automated store, a widely discussed subject, not only at Valora, but at in the retail industry as such. We are the ones who had the courage to test these stores. We learn and still learn a lot from these tests. They're very promising. A lot of our hypotheses have been confirmed in terms of how we have to operate these stores. And we commit now going forward another 20 to 25 million over a cycle of 3 years in digital innovations only. This is included in all the numbers you see, the 20 to 25 million potential EBIT contribution coming from these 20 to 25 are not included because they're very hard to predict. These 20 to 25 will not go exclusively in the automated store, but they also go into analytics, retail analytics, in our loyalty program. But we committed that capital to ultimately accelerate digital innovation within the group and support the teams, both in our IT department, but also in the dedicated digital units going forward and to guide them with what they can expect from us as a commitment in investments. Bob Finance, worth mentioning, had a very good year. We share with you a loan that we are now at the level in terms of a loan portfolio of above 200 million. This is still extremely small compared with some of our competitors, but it's substantial enough to create a sound business on that basis. And we shared in the past, the logic of that business is that as long as you have a positive lifetime value contribution, and we have that from day one on, ultimately this loan portfolio will translate in a positive EBIT contribution. And we don't share much more detail here, but you see, if you look at the corporate line and the development of corporate costs and EBIT contribution, it gives you some indication that we are actually definitely on track with the development of that unit as well. In terms of key operational and development initiative for 2020, one of the efforts was to simplify what we do, reduce number of initiatives, focus the team, and basically it's four things where the vast majority of our operational teams are working on. It's your SBB rollout, it's the B2B new capacity ramp up. We start to test new clusters to support POS growth, mostly for the time in Germany. You see here a picture, a partnership that we entered with Eurogarage, one of globally, one of the main operators of gas stations, where we implemented what we call clip-ins for Backwerk and Ditch. It's a very promising market segment that has been underpenetrated by us in Germany specifically. It could also potentially be an interesting concept for Switzerland. We're still in testing phase. We also test it in other locations. We see quite some opportunities to also strengthen the brands, specifically in the coffee space that Backwerk built over the last years in retail. And you can compare that what we do for Starbucks, for example, here in Switzerland in our K-kiosk, where we support strongly the brand. These are initiatives that support the Backwerk coffee brand in Germany. And ultimately, it's process optimization of the support platform. We started a lot to implement that already last year. You will see much more coming here this year. Support platform, this is not only headquarter and finance functions and related parts. This has a lot to do with our supply chain. We saw quite some benefits that we realized and started to realize last year in our food service platform, specifically on the supply chain. And we also see opportunities in terms of the sourcing, the purchasing of our products that we sell in the store, quite some opportunities here. And then digital innovation, we will grow our team, started to grow the team that works on these innovations, a dedicated team in the group, and add-on acquisitions, as I mentioned, we will invest a little bit more effort in looking for opportunities in the market going forward. In summary, why do we think we're good positioned in a highly attractive market as we see it? Within retail, there's a lot of competition. There are a lot of changes affecting the retail landscape. We are the leading food convenience player in this out-of-home consumption market that is growing, that in our view will also going forward benefit from very strong, sustainable macro trends. Across all the countries we operate, we are leading player in Switzerland. We're definitely going forward the leading player at public transportation. Hubs. Nobody else is operating as many convenience stores at public transportation hubs as we do. We're also number one in the snacking or number seven in the gastronomy provider in Germany based on a study by food service. Our investments are exclusively focused on that market. That's at least as important as the market position that we have. We focus on that segment. We do not operate other concepts. That's what we do. Our supply chain is focused on that part of the business, and all our investments go into that market. And ultimately, the strong market presence that we already have and that we strengthen now with our refurbishments of the store will strengthen our brand portfolio. Brand recognition, specifically of AWEC in Switzerland, will increase. And we have a very positive development of brand recognition of Backwerk in Germany, for example, where we see that this trend from being a discount bakery towards a destination for healthy food and coffee is gaining momentum. Next events to close off, March 24th, we have our General Assembly in Basel. You're all happily invited. We will put forward for vote three things: a dividend of 12.5 stable dividend, 50% from retained earnings, 50% from reserves from capital contributions. We have three departing board members, Mr. Ditsch, Mr. Fiechter, and Mrs. Ritz-Bossikat. We have three new board members that stand for election, excuse me, Suzanne Thoma, Karen Schwab, Markus Bernhardt, and the three other all other four board members stand for re-election. We have, on the capital side, we ask for a renewal of our authorized capital of 400,000 share and a conditional capital of 484,000 shares at a nominal 1 Swiss franc. The three new board members that will join the group, I will close with that, are one, Suzanne Thomas. I think she needs no introduction here in Switzerland. Completed a successful transformation of BKW as a CEO. Karin Schwab, she joins us as a board member from eBay. She's Silicon Valley-based, brings a background as an attorney at law, Swiss attorney at law, to the board. But on top of that, as the deputy general counsel at eBay in the headquarters, she brings an enormous, vast amount of experience to the table if it comes to data protection, if it comes to all the relevant legal aspects of the business that we operate. And Markus Bernhardt, probably also most of you know, CEO of the publicly listed MobileZone Group since 2014, deep experience both as a CFO and in the finance space, but also in terms of operating at least retail-related. MobileZone also operates retail stores business. I'm very pleased to work with the two ladies and the additional gentlemen going forward. With these changes in the board, we then ultimately also will have a fairly diverse board. If you exclude our chairman, who's a male person, Franz Jüllen, we will have a 50-50% split of female and male board members. And with that, we come to the Q&A. Thank you very much for your attention.
So two questions. First one would be on CapEx. So you guided for 115 million, I think, for last year initially, and then you now came at 95. And I think also last year you guided for 130 million for 2020, and now seem to be at like 110 for 2020. So how should we think about that? So basically, has the capital intensity of the business changed a bit, or so? And the second question would be on Mr. Ditsch. What do you expect him to do with the shares?
So in terms of, thank you for these questions. In terms of CapEx, our plans are unchanged. So it's not affected by a change of plan that you see slightly lower CapEx number guided now. It's the result of, number one, more effective employment of capital. Secondly, a more detailed plan, what's going to happen with SBB and what are the costs related to SBB. And then thirdly, discipline. I mean, with the cash focus, the focus on return on capital employed and cash conversion in our business, discipline is very important if it comes to CapEx spendings. And we are still, in my view, on a very sustainable and a very healthy level in terms of headroom that we have with the numbers I just provided you going forward. And we'll definitely keep all our teams busy along all the projects. But we will focus even more so going forward on capital efficient employment of capital and benefit also from first experience in terms of sourcing of some of the items that we use in the refurbishment, specifically at the SPP stores. And then the second question, I think the best thing is to ask Mr. Ditch what he plans to do with his shares. We do not have any indication what he plans to do with the shares. And I, on the basis of what I know, you should not expect a complete change in terms of his assessment of the quality of the Valora shares only because he's leaving the board. It has definitely nothing to do with the relationship between Mr. Ditch and Valora. The fact that he's leaving the board, this is for pure personal reasons, a change in his personal setup that resulted in the fact that he decided to leave the board.
Can you comment a bit on the performance by shops, by locations? I mean, quite a significant number of shops are still located in shopping malls and city centers. I was wondering, should we worry about that? How are they performing? How do you think about that? Another question on the tax effect, can you quantify that? And is that cash relevant in the sense that you had to pay lower cash taxes? And maybe on the search on the new CFO, how far are you? When can we expect some news? And maybe can you also say something why Mr. Knechtle left the company other than just personal reasons?
Good. Thank you very much for these questions. In terms of performance by locations, I think we shared with you in the past that specifically shopping centers, I think that's not a very well-kept secret, are performing not very well. It has nothing to do with Valora, but rather with the shopping centers. Frequencies are dropping. That was part of the shop closures you've seen, specifically in Germany. So we had quite a few locations, Ditch locations, operated in shopping centers that we closed. We see that to a far lesser extent in Switzerland. So our biggest exposure in terms of shopping centers is with Migros. Even if you see that some of the centers see lower frequency, at least the Migros as a destination in that shopping center is still performing quite healthy. And so we benefit from that because our shops are typically quite low, close to the Migros. But at the same time, also in Switzerland, it was definitely not a supporting trend, but rather putting a lid on the development of these stores. It's important to understand that also in Switzerland, our kiosks in the shopping center have a quite different mix in terms of categories. So obviously you will see far less food growth coming from these stores. It's rather within the service part of the business, for example, where these stores are performing quite well. Plus in the game of luck, where, for example, the kiosks play quite an important role at the Migros locations. But the development has been far less severe than what you've seen in Germany. And there you can expect the main transition is basically completed. So store closures in the weak shopping centers is completed. City center is, I think, a total different situation. Similar in a way that we also closed stores in city centers, and frequency in city centers across Germany were very weak. And the question is now, have you seen the bottom, or is that a bottomless trend? In terms of store, positions and store performance. And then we completed also there the transition of closing stores at weak locations. And so we have quite a debate internally whether we're now at the point where it starts to be an opportunity or whether there is still the city center, an area where we have to be cautious. And I can share with you that me personally, I see it as an opportunity. The hard part is it's hard to time. But as you see from other companies, other investors, they invest heavily in German city centers. And I'm quite sure if the transition is completed, you will see also German city centers flourish again. And that's the time when I want to be there with our stores. So that's hopefully shed some light on your first question. Your second question, I can't read my handwriting, it was. Cash. Tax effect, exactly. Thank you. So, I mean, ultimately, you see the cash effect of the taxes in our free cash flow statement. So there was also a cash effect, but a substantial part are revaluation of tax assets based on a reorganization that we had in our business. So, rather an impact of non-cash elements within the tax. And the third question regarding Tobias Knechtle, I think we shared all everything already in terms of his departure, so there is nothing else we can add in terms of the search. When the process of in the middle of the process of the search, but there no news right now, and we'll share the news with you at a given point of time. And I hope in the meantime you're happy with the job I'm doing as an interim CFO. Yeah, bitte.
So I'm a little bit confused with your answer on the CapEx question. Is there not also a shift in CapEx related to a delay with the SBB rollout? Probably that's the first question. Then a question on networking capital. You had a positive influence in the network capital statement. How much of this influence is really related to operationally, and how much is related just day related because of end of December?
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So in terms of rollout, quite clearly there is an uncertainty related to the rollout and the ultimate CapEx, but this does not explain the difference. I think I explained the driver of the difference. So it has nothing to do with the different assessment of the rollout. So you should not expect that we push what we save this year into 21. We just have more information and we have the discipline to basically operate all the projects ultimately with less headroom. In terms of net working capital, it's a combination of both. So there have been quite substantial operational improvements. I think we shared with you that networking capital, also if it comes to incentives and compensation, has a more important role within the group. So we focused our teams also on networking capital. And we start to yield the results from that. We also improved our system. So if it comes to, for example, replenishment of certain product categories, we started to put more emphasis on these processes and started to optimize the replenishment process. You can imagine if you do that with one of our most capital intensive categories like tobacco, there is quite some substantial benefits it can yield. And then you have always the day element, right, as you mentioned. But if I compare it with last year, I mean, if I exclude the extraordinary day element, you would be be still on a free cash flow level at the, let's call it solid 70 million. But there is always a certain uncertainty.
Yeah, just add to the SPV rollout the question. I mean, do you have a delay or you don't have a delay on the rollout? And now, if you have one, how long is the delay?
So we have a delay in, or we're behind plan for 2019 because we initially communicated 50 stores, I think. It's now 25 roughly completed. But given the order of magnitude of the program of 262 stores, you should not read into that we have a significant delay over the full cycle, right? And let's call it, if it's 25 stores more or less in 2020, doesn't move the needle that much in terms of the ultimate capex of that year, right? There are other effects that are far more significant. You've seen that we talk about around 20 million SBB impact. Part of that is also related to the question, do we stick to the initial precise rollout plan, yes or no? That's why it's around. I'm quite comfortable it will not be more than 20. And so there will be some uncertainty left, but as we have done that also in the past, we also build in always kind of a safety margin in the numbers so that we are, as of now, comfortable to deliver against that. But I think it's important to understand that the Retail Switzerland team has a quite extraordinary 2 years ahead of them. We never refurbished that many stores in such a short time period. And this affects all our partners, starting with logistics, suppliers, but it's also a challenge for SBB. And so far, SBB, and we are very pleased with the progress we made, and we are very pleased with the results of the stores, how consumers accept these new stores. But yes, it is quite a substantial shift with some uncertainties related in which year exactly a specific event falls and how it will materialize in that specific year. Does this answer your question? Thank you. Yeah, bitte. Microphone.
Can you explore a little bit on the internationalization? You didn't mention anything. Is that out of scope at the moment? What are your plans with the format?
Internationalization outside of the existing markets.
Exactly.
Okay. Yes, I didn't mention anything because, you remember probably that with Pretzelkönig International, we have a program to multiply this format outside of the existing markets. We do that on a franchise basis, so we have partners who operate these stores, but we were not very much focusing on that part of the development, to say the least. This can be quite a binary event. If we find a big partner who's willing to operate a lot of these stores, we could enter a new country quite easily, but we will not do it ourselves with that specific format. So internationalization currently is mostly developing new or existing markets where we have a low penetration. This is mostly the Netherlands with food service and Austria, where we operate both retail concept and food service concepts. And outside of that, I would not exclude that some of the add-on acquisition could potentially fall in that category, as long as there is enough opportunity to benefit from synergies with our existing business. And then the biggest internationalization effort we're in the middle of completing is ultimately the B2B expansion in the US. So this is now became home for Valora, the US, but we're a rather fresh US citizen there in terms that we only started to operate the business there. But as I said, we're extremely pleased with both the progress the team makes and ultimately also with the market development. And so that's probably the biggest internationalization effort also for 2020.
Just one add-on. On the 20 million SBB impact, how much of that will be cash effective approximately?
So we do not break it down in detail. And part of that is because IFRS 16 is a very confusing subject. And even more so, a very hard subject to explain in detail. And the way we look at it, we had in the team the discussion. I mean, we could provide you with far more detail, but then we would end up ultimately in a guidance for each individual business with all the uncertainties related to such a guidance. So the 20 million, you have non-cash elements in there, both coming from IFRS 16 effects still in 2019. And remind yourself, with IFRS 16, you not always have negative impacts, but now and then it results also in positive impacts. But the way you can look at it, it is ultimately coming from IFRS 16, which will be non-cash. It's coming from the impairments, which is non-cash. And then you have a substantial part coming from increased rent, which is definitely cash. We haven't found a way to pay SBB non-cash, but maybe we figure out that part in the coming years. Any additional questions? Do we have questions from the webcast? So, Annette.
So, no question from the webcast, but I see there's Mr. Vero on the phone for a question.
Oh, okay.
The first question from the phone comes from Mr. Gianmarco Vero from MainFirst. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good day, everybody, and congrats to the solid results, and thanks for this very detailed presentation. Again, very helpful. I have three questions. The first is also, again, on CapEx and also on the depreciation amortization. I appreciate your outlook, which takes also into consideration the investments in renewing the locations awards to the SBB tender offer. And therefore, you also expect a slightly lower EBIT for 2020. But what I also see is that your fixed assets increased meaningfully this year by around 14%. And therefore, if I look at the depreciations alone, they just remained flat year on year. So can you give us a little bit more insights, probably also from an accounting perspective, why these depreciations did not increase meaningfully in 2019 and your outlook for 2020? That's the first question, the longest one, don't be afraid. The second one is just the retail business. There you mentioned the EBIT margin decline, which was around 160 basis points. Just wanted to ask you in relation to your comment there that this was mostly due to IFRS-related depreciations. So does that mean it is due to the winning of new contracts with SBB? And then the third question is just in relation to the net working capital improvement, which was really impressive. Can we expect also such impressive improvements also for the current year? Thank you.
Very good. Thank you very much for all these questions. Maybe in terms of the CapEx question, your first question, depreciation, lower EBIT. I'm not sure whether I made that connection that precisely. obviously, yes, if we invest, we depreciate more, but on a larger scale, you will see that we're still fairly balanced in terms of new investments and depreciation. So you see, yes, an impact, but it should not be substantial. I think the answer to the second part of your first question, you find on page 59, if I got your question correctly in terms of the impact on our balance sheet, this is mostly IFRS 16. So you have a substantial increase of the assets. This is related to 18. And we... Yeah, and I think this helps you to understand also the 19 impact. We have not provided the 19 transition, right? This was for everybody on the webcast and the phone, this was a question to Annett Martin, our head of investor relations. So that probably documents the transition effect that we have on the balance sheet, if I understood your question correctly. Otherwise, we can also follow up on that later. Secondly, in terms of EBIT margin, yes, this is affected by IFRS 16 to a substantial part. These are the 9 million, which 7 of that is non-cash related to SBB. Substantial part of that is IFRS 16. There have been other effects. And as I mentioned, bear in mind, 18 was a very strong year for Retail Switzerland. Your question was, is it related to the winning of the contracts? The answer is yes. It's not so much the winning, it's the signing of the contract. So at the point of time you sign the contract, you have to book this right of use assets, start depreciating it, even if you only start paying the cash rent at a later point of time, as we do now in 2020. I hope this answers the second question. And in terms of network and capital improvements, in an ideal world, we would continue to improve our network capital. We do not guide by how much we think we can improve it. There is always a certain limitation because the maximum network and capital improvement would be that we do not have enough products in the store. And that's definitely also a situation that we have to avoid. But we definitely will continue to focus on that. And then you will always have this uncertainty, as I mentioned earlier, in terms of the day when you close the book, when you turn, how the timing is of the last payment towards the end of the year. So this always creates a, let's call it a mid-single digit million number in terms of uncertainty every year. I hope this answers the third question.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Question? No? Nothing on the webcast. Additional questions in the room here? Good. Otherwise, we can close the Q&A part. Thank all of you at the webcast, on the phone, and all of you coming here, joining us for the 2019 results presentation. I want to thank you for your attention. And on that occasion, I would also like to thank our team, my team, who supported me tremendously over the last couple of weeks in terms of producing all the documentation, which includes the financing team that you find here on my left, present in the room. So if you have additional, more specific IFRS question, here you have the experts to cover it with. We also have our tax authority with us, the Valora tax advisor, who can share as much as you can and won't share in terms of specifics. And obviously, Annett Martin, who's available as our head of investor relations, and the team of Christina Wahlstrand, and, responsible for the communication team. We're here available for you. Thank you very much, all of you, my team, to support me, and thank you very much for coming here today, and I wish you a successful and wonderful day today. Thank you.